Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. It is Saturday night, July 28th, Pittsburgh Steelers training camp 2018. It is 9:30 on the East Coast, and that's where Alex Cazora is, back again, third day in a row, going to Latrobe, where they had the pads on today. Alex, are you sore?
You know, honestly, after that first day, I felt sore. Like, legitimately, my legs hurt, my arm hurt. I think I'm just the least athletic person in the world, and sitting in the stands has me feeling winded.
Yeah, I think I might have pulled a carpal tunnel or whatever.
that's chronic.
All this extreme blogging all of a sudden, you know?
Hey, you're on top of things, so I'll give you credit.
I'm only as good as the information that comes across sometimes, you know? So,
like, 3 seconds after Foster went down, Tim sitting next to me, he's like, Dave's asking me for a picture, and he sent it over.
I don't play, do I?
You play to win.
You damn right I do. I do not lose. Let's get after it. Let's see if we can knock this thing out in about another 35 minutes here. Said at the top of the show, the Steelers put the pads on today, and not practicing or not showing up in pads was Morgan Burnett. He did not work again, probably still tightness with that hamstring, and Ben Roethlisberger was not out there from the right at the start of practice, as it turns out. He was given really the day off. I don't know, is this going to be full day, half day, off day type thing? He talked about that when I think Maurice Jones-Drew during an interview on NFL Network that was broadcast later today. I don't know. I think he was kind of talking about his in-season schedule, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about training camp as well, too. But if you go back to last year, Ben missed the first day in pads. So, obviously, it's not anything injury-related. It's just some sort of schedule that he's going to be on to help kind of preserve him, I think, for the regular season. I have no issue with that, especially when you have four quarterbacks on the roster and you want to try to get those three guys some work on top of it there. Eli Rogers still on PUP, of course, not practicing. And I think that's it as far as going into practice. Now, obviously, the big news during practice that we might as well go ahead and knock that out is left guard Ramon Foster went down. I think it was 11-on-11 drill, got rolled up, I think, by maybe Stephon Tuitt. There was a little bit of a yelp, I think, and, down on the ground, and out comes the cart, and he's down for a while. Trainers, I think, looking at his right knee, ultimately had to be carted off for that. Mike Tomlin didn't have a lot to say about it, obviously, after practice was over, other than Ramon's going to be evaluated further and that he's not going to speculate. Now, there is a report out there this evening, about 2 hours after that, from Ian Rappaport, saying that, early word might be that it's not, season ending, for whatever that's worth. And I don't know how to, I don't know how to characterize it any more than what Ian said. Carted off is not thought to be serious. So if that's the case, God bless him. He dodged a huge bullet. So, I caution everybody. Let's wait kind of for the official word. And, you would certainly hate to lose a guy like that.
Yeah. Now, the silver lining, and I tweeted this out, is that if he's done for the year or an extended period of time or whatever the case is, it's not short term, is that you have a competent player in B.J. Finney, who's been in that role before, is thought in some circles as the heir to Foster in the last year of his deal. So there is some comfort in having Finney step in. But yeah, Foster's a leader on that team, still playing at a high level, That would definitely suck. And it was just a weird play. The pocket collapsed. Everybody fell at the feet of Landry Jones. Jones couldn't even get the throw off to target because everyone was at his feet. So just kind of an unfortunate thing that happens sometimes. And hopefully it's okay. It looked bad. But, you know, I tweeted this out that I think in 2015 or 2016, Robert Golden went down in a practice and it looked like a for sure a season ender. Like he was screaming in pain. It was bad. And he ended up being okay and missing maybe a week or two. It was not serious. So hopefully Fosh is in the same boat. We'll see I'm sure he's not going to practice tomorrow, but maybe we'll see what wrap or crutch or whatever he's got going on and get an idea from there.
Yeah, and just keep your fingers crossed, all we can say. And if it is BJ Finney, you know, we've talked about him in the past over a couple of years. He's had some nice starts there at left guard when Foster has been missed some games with like chest, chest problem, and what else has he missed with?
A back maybe or something.
Yeah, I know chest for sure, but regardless, BJ to me, all since BJ's been in the league, I've considered him a better guard than a center, to be quite honest with you. Now obviously we haven't seen a lot of him at center anyway, but you know, you could do worse, I guess, and let's just hope that we're not having to talk any more about that past tonight. We'll wait and see what the official word is. Who benefits, who would benefit here? A guy like, Patrick Morris or the left guard Schruger, or who would benefit from this?
Well, what happened today was that obviously Finney moved to first team left guard, and then Larson Graham went from third team right guard to second team left guard. So if you can talk about a guy getting some more reps, it's going to be Larson Graham, who was a tackle guard, local kid from Duquesne, I think was with Atlanta last year, and now he's in Pittsburgh. So the guy that got more reps was Graham, and we'll see if that continues.
All right, and, being as how how much has Filer gotten work kind of at center?
The only time I've seen Filer at center so far was in yesterday, day two of warm-ups. He was taking some snaps with Mason Rudolph. He has not done it in team drills yet. I'm sure that could change. Usually after the first week of camp, they move guys around. They'll keep them static for now. So we'll see what happens in a week. But right now in team, he's just doing second team right guard.
All right, and all you've seen Morris do is just center still, right?
Yep, third team center with Parker Collins back. He's still second team center.
Okay, so Parker Collins is running ahead of him still. Yep. Then, all right. Well, I guess we just kind of just wiped out the offensive line at the same time. Anything else you'd like to kind of add about what you observed out of the offensive line today?
We did get to see O-line, D-line, which was a lot of fun, but, I jump on the podcast right after my camp report is posted, so I don't even have really – I haven't gone through it again, like just reading it to see who did well and who didn't. I thought Patrick Morris had a couple good reps against McCullers, and yes, I know it's Dan McCullers, but in those one-on-ones, whenever you have the giant McCullers is against some smaller centers like a Patrick Morris, usually McCullers is able to kind of do some work in those situations. But twice today, Morris was able to win against McCullers, put him on the ground one time, which again from McCullers, if you haven't seen it, doesn't happen very often in that type of environment one-on-one. So thought Morris did well against McCullers, though Josh Frazier actually, I think, beat him up a little bit whenever they squared off. But thought Filer did well. Jake Rogers had a couple of good reps against T.J. Watt. I think he went 2-0 against Watt. So feather in his cap. And again, getting him second-team reps is huge after running third-team last year.
Yeah, and I heard Tunch talk later this evening about how he thought Jake Rogers had a good day as well too. So definitely a guy, that's a guy I'm gonna have my eye on. When it comes to some of these, second team, I guess, offensive linemen during the preseason here, definitely gonna be Rogers here. Okay, nothing else. Let's see which direction you want to go. Running backs.
Yeah, we can go running backs. I thought Connor and Samuel, some more of the same in terms of their use. I didn't get the greatest look at backs on backers. I asked the readers on Twitter what they wanted to see, receiver, DB, or backs on backers, and they, for the majority, wanted to see receivers, DB, so that's where my focus was at. I saw Samuels and Connor both win a rep early. I don't know how things shook out after that. I don't know if you've read or heard anything on that, Dave, but in team drills as runners, decisiveness, one-cut guys, good vision, some burst, acceleration. I thought they did some nice things in their run game today.
Yeah, and, there's usually, and I think even Penn Live's got one up, kind of a play-by-play on the backs on backers there. I always look forward to it, but it's always good to kind of make sure you get the disclaimer out there that it's slanted extremely in the favor of the defensive side of football there. I think mostly you want to see aggressiveness and want to, and you know, at least try to hold them off a little bit. You know, there. Sure. And my general takeaway from reading some of these is that Samuels didn't have as good a day as, say, a Connor did. And, you know, Fitz, I think, and you would expect it out of Fitz to kind of hold his own there. You know, I guess with these things, and plus you're so far away from it too, right? I mean, it's hard for you to even give a play-by-play because where it's at on the field, right?
Most years that's the case, but I was able to set up higher today, so I was able to see it whenever I was looking at it. But the receiver's DB is right in my face, so you can see it a little bit better. Because when you get backs on backs, you get basically like an old schoolyard circle around the group, and everyone's going crazy and hooping and hollering, so it's a little tougher to see.
Yeah, to my understanding, Christian Scotland Williamson didn't do too well.
Here's my shocked face, Dave.
Yeah, like that E-Trade baby, right? Yeah,
your gift, right?
Not shocked there.
Same with Samuels versus Connor. I'd expect Connor to do a lot better than Samuels.
Yeah, and I understand Matthew Thomas got the better of Jalen Samuels. So, you know, that's look, the thing, we've talked about this thing with Jalen Samuels, and I even wrote about it again this morning because there's a quote from Jalen saying he thinks he's underrated. His physicality is underrated. That might be true. But you can be a physical player and still not be good in pass protection.
Right. You know, you can be physical. If your technique sucks, you're not going to do well. One thing with Connor, you see that drill translate. Landry Jones hit AB deep down the left sideline for like a 40-yard gain against Burns, but it was Connor that picked up the inside blitz from Vince Williams, stood tall, got square, and made the block that allowed that to happen. So you're seeing some positive things with Connor and pass pro. Again, it's early. We got to get into games and all that, but some nice steps there.
And this is the stuff that will really stick out in the preseason games.
Yep, definitely. Both in processing and location and finding where these guys are at, and then the execution of it and making the play.
Right. I mean, backs on backers, we all look forward to it, especially when they put the pads on for the first time. I suppose when they get to Friday Night Lights, that'll be showcased again by then. Maybe sooner. We'll see. But, that's where we stand on that. So, you know, definitely the thing, you know, read around. The reports are out there. Like I said, I think Penn Live has got a play-by-play on. I think Trib Live's got some what they thought of the matchups there as well, too.
I have 11 charted for backs on backers, and I have 38 for receiver DB. So I try to do a little bit of both, but focuses on receiver DB.
All right. Anything about with these guys? You know, I think you had, you know, Connor and Samuels doing good with vision and making some cuts, right?
Yeah, some of the zone schemes, just making the read. Again, you're reading the hand of the defensive line. Where they go, you go away from it essentially, and I thought they both showed that, and especially for Samuels to be a rookie to kind of show that processing and show some burst through the hole. Connor did as well. Tomlin likes how Connor finishes these runs. So, again, like we've talked about before, Dave, we know based on what we saw last year that Connor is a talented running back and can, you know, do some damage there. It's about everything else. But like I said, the first 2 days, I think Connor's having a strong start to camp and really is as good of a camp as you could have hoped for.
Healthy, too, and on the field.
Mm-hmm. Available, good conditioning. He's going to make some mistakes. He'll have the reps to be able to clean him up. And, yeah, as Tomlin would say, the air was pointing up.
I wonder what the shock is to some of these guys that come out of college and think, man, I'm in good shape. I can handle this. They get into that environment their rookie year and think, my Lord, you know, nowhere close. I'm sure most of them go through it, you know, and I'm sure Connor went through it. I think that's what probably led to this offseason really, you know, reshaping, if you will. I mean, it looks like a totally different kid, in my opinion, than the one, you know, was photographed at the OTAs and all last season. Tight ends. McDonald, Jesse, go on. Grimble?
Yeah, not a lot in the pass game and team drills today with them. Fair McKever had some troubles on the sled. You know, Tomlin comes over and watches that group pretty closely. Just McKever not driving his feet through contact, go dead, you know, on contact, and you don't get any power from that. So Tomlin was getting on him a little bit for that, making him redo the blocking sled drill. Real quick, just quirky side note, if If there was ever an issue with Cameron Kennedy, ever an injury in game, I'm guessing your backup long snapper is Vance McDonald doing some snaps today. So if you ever want to know who the new James Harrison could be, it's probably Vance McDonald.
You know what? You tweeted that out earlier today, and I was going to Google something, and you know me, I get, you know, if a piece of paper blows in my office here, I get sidetracked, and I forget. Did he do any of that at Rice?
I don't know. He wore a lot of hats at Rice. Wasn't he like a quarterback, tight end kind of runner? So I don't think he did. I'm not aware of it, but it wouldn't shock me. He did a lot of stuff there.
And how far did him and Chris Boswell overlap at Rice?
That's a good question. Maybe a year or two. I honestly couldn't tell you, though. But Boswell was giving us some tips today.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to Google that, because I thought, okay, well, yeah, he went to Rice. And oh, yeah, Boswell went to Rice, too. And I was going to Google whether or not McDonald had to do any long snapping while I was there. Well, that makes sense. I mean, it's a good little tidbit to know. Hopefully we'll never have to to see that kind of stuff. But, okay, and you know, the thing with these tight ends and these younger, you know, undrafted tight ends, it's not uncommon for them to not be good on, you know, on the sleds and stuff, right?
Right. Actually, real quick, I just looked up McDonald's draft profile from whatever year he came out. It says McDonald also finished the season as Rice's long snapper. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. And you would think he overlapped some with Boswell. So they probably have a little bit of familiarity, right? I'll have to Google that and see how much they overlap there or not. But okay. One other thing about a tight end, Ryan Mallick evidently got schooled pretty hard during that backs on backers drill too. And Joey Porter was evidently even giving him the business as well too. So Mallick, you know, he didn't last very long the last time around, right?
Yeah, there was an injury, I think, was that like a neck injury, but he's had a difficult start to camp.
Yeah. Okay, wide receivers. I kept seeing our boy Damon Patterson's name in your Twitter feed.
Yeah, he made some nice catches, being able to find the football, adjust to it, showing some speed, which is kind of what we thought is kind of an X-type receiver with some vertical ability. It's what he did at Youngstown State. And again, the calling card with some of these back end of the roster receivers is their unique special teams ability, their unique coverage ability. And that's a little tough to see in camp right now, but when you get in the games, you're going to get Tevin Jones and Trey Griffey and Damon Patterson running down kicks and punts. And that's how guys, you know, punch their ticket onto the roster, be it 53-man roster or more likely practice squad. So some nice things from him. James Washington getting a lot of targets, just seeing some of the hands, being able to catch away from his body, make some of those tough combative catches. You know, Cody Sensabaugh's giving him some fits, but again, you're seeing some positive stuff from Washington. Marcus Tucker, I call it a little quiet. I mean, it's not been terrible, but he hasn't really flashed the way that maybe some expected him to, and hasn't entirely matched the hype that he was kind of given going into training camp. And again, it's only 3 days, a lot of the action here to go, but not quite maybe what some people expected.
Yeah, I haven't really heard you mention DHB any. I mean, not that we don't know who DHB is, but you know, I assume Justin Hunter's still getting. You know, we talked about this, I think, last night. Not getting more and more the feeling that that Justin Hunter is probably going to make this team. And it's still early. I mean, I've got no real reason. Just kind of an epiphany, if you will. And look, if they keep six, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you could really see it come down to maybe a Eli Rogers versus Marcus Tucker thing. You know, if things stayed the way they are now, who would you think at this point, if not Tucker, would be the best practice squad material?
I'm leaning Patterson. I think he's kind of separated himself a little bit. I think maybe Tevin Jones is second because he's got some slot versatility, while Griffey's more of an outside guy, and Griffey hasn't impressed me too much so far. So, and again, super early, but, you know, Patterson, there's also Justin Thomas who they like, who's done some return work. So a little early to tell, of course, but I think Patterson has done okay. Thomas, a couple plays as well.
All right, you already talked a little bit about defensive line, talking about Daniel McCullers and all. Any of these, I mean, with the battle of possibly number six, and you would think it would be Josh Frazier, Greg Gilmore. I mean, I don't know who else would you put in that battle. I mean, other than McCullers, obviously.
Right. Gilmore seems to be falling behind a little bit, being a fourth team guy, hasn't really stood out in one-on-ones or team drills. Josh Frazier seemed to have a good day. He won both his reps in O-line, D-line. buddy I was sitting next to in Team Jewel said Frazier was holding the point attack pretty well, so I thought he had a good day. McCullers, again, had some issues with Morris, but doing some decent things in team drill. So I guess if you want to talk about who the early front runners are, I mean, the names you already talked about, but it's kind of more McCullers and Frazier than Gilmore and Vickers and Cothran and guys like that. So that's kind of where things early on are shaping up.
Anything else stick out defensive line-wise?
Just the starters being dominant. Cam Hayward running through Villanueva, killing B.J. Finney in O-line, D-line. Javon Hargrave just destroying Parker Collins, which, I mean, you'd expect, but just the hand use, the strength in his hands and the variety of ways that he wins. I think he beat him with a club and beat him with, like, it looked like a Reggie White hump move. I mean, it was just throwing Collins to the ground. So stuff you would expect, but it's nice to see the D-line being dominant.
What kind of snap total you think? You think Hargrave's going to equal right around last year's total?
Yeah, I think similar. You get him the base snaps that you can. That's just going to be more game dependent on what offenses do for the most part. You might get some more 3-3-5 and some stuff like that. And then if you get him in some nickel rushes, that's great. But you know that Hayward and Tewitt are carrying the load there.
All right, outside linebacker, Dupree, Watt. I mean, you already talked about some of the one-on-one battles, I think. What else? What about behind those guys? I think Keon Adams had a pretty good backs-on-backers drill, to my understanding.
Okay, cool. I didn't catch that, so that's good to hear because he's been kind of quiet on my notes elsewhere.
Farrington Hugonen, too, also evidently. Well, they beat up – I think they're some of the ones that beat up on Christian Scotland Williamson.
Yeah, so you grade on the curve on that one for sure. I thought Denny had a good practice. Again, both in O-line, D-line, and I thought some of his run fits and being able to get off blocks and find the football, I think he's having a nice camp to start. But Dupree showing some power. The first rep in O-line, D-line, just kind of a speed bull rush into Villanueva, got his inside shoulder open up and kind of ran through him. So, again, the big thing with Dupree is you want to see power. You want to see a threat to the inside, and you saw that on that rush, so that's good to see. T.J. Watt beating Gilbert with a really nice kind of bend dip move around the edge where he got super low and kind of ran under the coffee table, and Gilbert went to the ground, and Watt stayed on his feet, so some nice stuff there. Hugonen had one clean pass rush I saw in team drills, and apparently, like you said, did well in backs-on-backer. Trying to think if I had any other notes.
Are you able to see? I mean, I know you have your binoculars out there sometime. I don't know how far away you are, but I mean, are you able to see, some of these cross chops or rips fairly clean? Especially with Dupree, does it look like he has more of a plan? I mean, normally these Tigers don't change their stripes, right? I mean, you know what I'm getting at. I mean, how many times do we see third, fourth year, you know, edge rushers really, really change the stripes that much?
I think you're right that sometimes those guys don't. But I think with Dupree, again, I go back to health and I look at last year with that shoulder injury being probably worse than what was reported and thought to be by the casual fan. I think that kind of limited his repertoire and just not being healthy to work on that stuff. So I think he's in kind of a different case where he can improve and develop more than maybe a typical guy in his situation would be. In O-line, D-line, you can see it pretty well because I have the binoculars. It's just one-on-one. There's nothing else to muddy it up. In team drills, it's a little bit tougher. If they're on my side, I can see the tackle and the outside linebacker to that side. If they're on the other side, I generally can't. I just kind of see the result unless it's a speed move and I can kind of catch it that way. So it just depends, but you're not too far away, and, you know, you have a really good view of things.
And quite honestly, it's hard for you to compare anything the last couple years because right. we talked about just the other night. You know, he's missed so much training camp practice time over the last 2 years and only 30-something, preseason snaps on top of it. So really, I mean, like I said a few days or in the first show, we ought to be giving a gold star every time he's going 100% through practice because that's a huge step in the right direction for him. And I would like to – I mean, how many snaps would you like to see him get during the preseason, Alex?
I'm not sure. 75, maybe? Does that sound like a decent number?
Yes, it's double 30, right?
I mean, yeah, I'll just as many as I can get. You know, that third game, run them for a half. Other games, get a quarter in the first two games, sit out the fourth. Probably get you at about 75.
You know, and even his, Chuck Smith, has said this offseason, well, he'd be fine if he could, start having a plan and having move, have a signature move or two. And that's just one of the things that we just haven't seen out of him yet. I mean,
right.
Now talking about some of these younger guys like Adams and Adenye and all like that, are you able to see any the athleticism at all on display, some bend or anything like that, or you know, just too far away from that, or what?
For Adenye, you're seeing the power. You're seeing convert speed the power. You're seeing some pass rush plan. He tried a rip move today on Joseph Cheek to the outside. It didn't work, so he spun back in. So you're seeing kind of the wheels turning with him. Obviously, he has that innate, like James Harrison, the leverage advantage because he's 6 foot with high heels on, and he's able to get under some of these taller tackles. So that's helpful for him. Adams, again, I just haven't seen a whole lot from. Probably just haven't gotten a good view of it. Not saying he's not doing anything, but I just haven't gotten a good feel for him as a pass rusher. But going back to last year, he does have that quick first step. Can he do something off of that? We'll find out.
All right, inside guys.
What do I have here for inside guys? Thought Leslie, Bostic, Medakevich did well against the run. This isn't new under Keith Bowler, but you're seeing the inside guys line up on the edge quite a bit. Vince Williams has done it. I saw Matthew Thomas, Keith Kelsey. So, again, that's schemed under Keith Bowler, and it isn't new, but maybe you see it some more this year. I even saw Vince Williams and Matthew Thomas jump into the O-line, D-line, which is generally a outside linebacker, defensive lineman versus the offensive line drill, not really one for the inside guy. So maybe that's a subtle clue. They're trying to get these inside linebackers to rush the passer a little bit more often, play him around a little bit, just something to keep in the back of your mind.
And, Lord, we know how good Vince Williams is rushing from kind of out from the outside and when he gets singled up on a back.
Yeah, get him in the B-gap. I mean, look at what he did to Kareem Hunt last year. Just destroyed him.
Right, and seemed like there was, what, one or two other? Another Kansas City game. I'm trying to think what the other game was. I can't get off top of my head there. But he had some nice rushes from, right from what you said, from the B-gap there before. And if you get him one-on-one on the back, he's going to win that. Or he he should win that.
Just don't put him on the edge. I did that post during the summer, or during a couple months ago, and I guess in the spring it would have been just showing that these guys are more successful from the inside than they are from the edge when they're facing backs, not facing tackles. So I'm not thrilled with seeing these guys on the edge, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right, pecking order is still the same with Medakevich and did you read that quote from Bostic that I put up on the site?
That's
the
communication, him getting mad about communication.
Right.
Yeah, I like that mentality.
I do too. Do you hear – how much communicating do you hear? Are you able to hear some good communicating out there?
Yeah, you're able to hear some stuff, but you don't always know exactly what it means, and you can't hear everything. So a lot of it post-play, a lot of guys swearing post-play for the most part. Brian Allen's got a little bit of a mouth on him. But, yeah, you hear the communication. I couldn't really tell you how good it is and what they're getting right and wrong and all that. I mean, I just not in the know about that stuff. But yeah, they're talking pretty good.
All right. Anything else about, if you were to list the top four at this point, I mean, we know who the top three are. I mean, name number four and number five for me. Is Fort still in that mix then?
I'd like to think so. I mean, we've talked about it before. Dave Fort has played well. He's a good special teamer. He's got a little edge versatility. I'd like to think he's still got the inside track, but I think really after top three, it's still undecided. They're getting a good look at Matthew Thomas. You have Darnell Leslie, I think, playing well. Columbus and Kelsey behind. So, you know, if you had to pick a front five, it would just be by the teams. It'd be, you know, Williams, Medakevich, Bostic, Fort, and Thomas. But I think it's still too early to start really forming this stuff yet.
If you had to guess on average through these three practices, say the third teamers, third, fourth, those guys that run that late, about how many reps are they getting?
I could probably give you a better number if I went through my notes. In a team drill through all the team drills in a given practice, they're probably getting, trying to think, there'd be
six.
No, yeah, more than that. I'd say in that 10 to 15 range. I mean, you're getting, you know, today they got what, like 83 snaps, I think, in team. So you're probably getting 15 to 20 total for those guys.
Okay, I got you. Defensive backs.
I thought good days for Cody Sensabaugh.
You want to mix this into the kind of the one-on-one drills with the wide receivers or no?
Yeah, no, lump it all together. Cody Sensabaugh did a nice job, though, and Team Terrell Edmonds forced three incompletions in receiver DB, which is a drill very much slanted for the offense. It's one-on-one, all the space in the world. Edmonds gets a pick, and he forces two incompletions. Really should have had a second interception, but I think Juju kind of broke it up. So that's rare to see from any player, let alone a rookie. So that's nice from Edmonds. Yeah, Sensabaugh had a good day. Sutton, some more of a struggle, just had trouble with his footing, maybe bad cleats or something like that. Malik Golden, I thought was impressive, had a diving interception and then a breakup in team drill, seeing some ball skills for him. Not a lot of kind of free safety types on this roster. I think Golden is kind of in that mold more than a strong safety, so maybe that can give him some practice squad value or make him more valuable to the Steelers. Last thing I want to point out, Dave, I wrote it down because I really want to get it out there. I think Mike Brasuta wrote about it yesterday for Steelers.com, but I saw it today. In seven shots, the Steelers would stay in base against 11 personnel, but they would remove a safety, Sean Davis, and put Mike Hilton in. So they were running three corners and only one safety in seven shots. They did that for all four plays. Maybe that's kind of a different wrinkle in those goal line situations when teams go 11, going three corners and one safety.
All right, that is interesting there. You just worry about if you can get run on in those situations, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's going to stick, but they're testing it out, it looks like.
Okay. Anything stick out, schematic or anything worth talking about through the first 3 days here? I mean, probably not a lot of that. You haven't probably seen anything dime or anything like that, right?
Right, yeah. No dime. I'm still, again, waiting to see what they're going to do in dime if they – install it. I mean, they will install it, but I guess how much we'll see of it, I'm not quite sure. But no, nothing too crazy. You know, some of the nickel blitzes, some man, some cover two, nothing that's, you know, shocking me here.
Artie Burns had a pick early in. What session was that? Was that seven shots or no?
Yeah, it was the first play, seven shots. Thank you. I almost forgot about that. It was a slant from Landry Jones, and Burns looked like he ran the route. I don't know if AB told him what he was running or what, but
I actually saw a clip of that. Someone there at camp posted it up on Twitter, and he did. He looked like he ran. He undercut it. Looked like he was the intended receiver on that. So I would say, I mean, judging, I'm obviously not there. You are, but I'd say Artie Burns not having an awful start of camp, you know.
Yeah, two picks in 2 days. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. All right, anything else to kind of wrap up on the defensive backs?
I think that's about everything. Yeah, it was a good day for them. So I think they've put together some good practices.
You couldn't pick a better two people maybe to be the camp first brouhaha, right? Chicken Chooks.
Yeah, I like that. That's like some sort of 80s buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a cartoon. Chicken Chooks. Tell me how that got started.
Yeah, it was just kind of a weird freak thing. It was a run play to the like right side up the center, maybe off right guard. And I was watching it the whole way. So, I mean, I had a really good sight line of it. But it was just Chicolo and Okorafor going together in a block. And Chicolo had a one-arm stab and put it in Okorafor's face mask. And I think probably poking him in the eye or something. And Okorafor was not happy about that. And Chicolo solved that problem by ripping Okorafor's helmet off. And I think he threw the helmet at him. I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to say something wrong here, but he threw it in his general direction, and they kind of started going at it, and everyone else then came in and kind of broke it up. But, yeah, first fight of the year, I enjoyed it. That was fun. And Tim got some great shots at that, too. That was awesome.
He really did. Tim has gotten some great shots overall, really some impressive shots. I mean, it looks like he was right out there on the field on a few of them there. But let's see. What else did I wanted to cover real quick? Something I don't remember if it was about the fight or not. Maybe that's what it was about. But oh no, it was about Chooks. You know, really, one of the things you kind of worried about him was whether or not, you know, had enough mean streak in him. You know, from his college days there. And one other thing I knew that I wanted to cover real quick. It just goes to show you, you know, the reality of the Foster injury. And once again, you know, we don't know anything definitive on it and all. But then you look back at the Gerald Hawkins injury earlier in the offseason. And as much as we like to think that we know the way the Steelers should address a draft, and the players that they should probably go after in the positions and early versus late and all. I mean, this is just another great example of you know, you got, you know, you have to rank the best players available. And if there is kind of a tie, You know, you have two players very closely. You obviously go with need. I think both of us were kind of surprised to see a tackle in the third round, right?
Yeah, I definitely was. And in hindsight, I mean, it makes sense because depth's getting a little thin. I mean, really, you can't credit the Steelers because it's not like they knew that those guys were going to get hurt. But in hindsight, it is kind of working out.
Right, and that's my point, is you don't go into it, you know, knowing that X player's going to get hurt. But, you know, Kevin Colbert says every year, if you don't get that best player on your board, you might end up regretting it. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully we're not going to have to find any more instances of that. But, I mean, here we are, third day of training camp, and it certainly looks like Chooks is going to be your swing tackle, right?
Yeah, or at least on the left side. Again, it, you know, could depend on what's going to go on with Filer on the right side. But, again, Corfort's probably going to play in some capacity this year, so it's working out. And also, just real quick, expect a roster move tomorrow, because even if Foster's, you know, hasn't gotten the worst and he's only going to miss a week or two, he's still going to need a body down the 14 linemen. So probably going to get a roster move tomorrow.
Yeah, and I put that out on Twitter, you know, not long after the injury as well, too. You know, they had who's the kid out of Pitt? Brandon Hodges was a tryout guy, but I think memory serves me, he was a right guard though. Not that it might matter, you know. And I know Minnesota waived a kid from San Jose, a guy that many people were kind of shocked he's already out of Minnesota camp, got waived just, I think, yesterday. So maybe, you know, maybe that's a name to watch as well, too. Although sometimes these guys that they bring in, it's out of the blue.
Right, yeah. I mean, it could be that's pro, you know, pro scout coordinators, you know, Brandon Hunt and them doing that. There was that UDFA they brought in right after the draft from Elon with the funny name I can't remember. He got waived at the end of rookie minicamp for RJ Prince. I don't know if he just fell flat on his face or what, but maybe he could circle back. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. And you would think if a move's going to happen, it would happen sometime in the morning. They probably already, if they need somebody, that person's probably either already on the plane by now. You know,
he's probably literally wheels up as we're speaking. Honestly,
probably is. Okay, great job, Alex. Winners, losers. You want to do those tonight?
Sure. I mean, I kind of forgot to write that down, so I was writing it as you were talking, and these aren't hard and fast, and again, I don't want to overreact to any one day, especially just first day in pads. I'll just give you several guys I thought did well today. I thought of Denier at outside linebacker. I thought Malik Gold in coverage, Terrell Edmonds in one-on-ones, Jake Rogers in O-line, D-line, all were successful. Some losers, Farrah McEvor on the blocking sled, though he did have a nice catch in team drills, a one-handed snag. I thought Parker Collins struggled in one-on-ones, and even B.J. Finney. Again, it was against Cam Hayward in O-line, D-line, but he lost pretty badly twice, and then I think Hargrave knocked him down in team drills. So, you know, I like Finney. It's not the end of the world, but he had a little bit of a tough day today.
All right, fourth day in a row coming up. What's the record for you? 5 days in a row?
I think they did six last year or the year before. I'd have to look. But, yeah, it's 11 practices in 12 days. So Tuesday's the only off day. So it's a busy time of year.
All right, you'll be back out there on Sunday and then back wrapping it up with me tomorrow night as well, too. Appreciate it, as usual, Alex. Give a shout-out to Lynn at Touring Plans.
Yep, Touring Plans, again, longtime sponsor, Steelers Depot for both camp and our Senior Bowl trips. If you're planning on a trip to Disney, I know that's kind of one of the bucket list things for a lot of families. That's the group you want to go through to make that process as least chaotic as possible. So big thanks to Len Testa and Touring Plans. Thank you, Tim Rice, for some fantastic photos today. Thank you, everybody who's donated in the Steelers Depot tip jar. Really appreciate all the support there. Again, I'll get back to you and a thank you to all you guys as soon as I can. But thank you again for the support, both for the site. It seems like people are really enjoying our stuff this year, which is always great to hear, you know, and it's just been an awesome experience.
All right. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex Kozora on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And until Sunday night, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and tonight, Alex Kozora. Good night.